Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Dr. Iracema Coronado. Dr. Coronado is a professor in the Political Science Department. Iracema, thank you very much for being with us and welcome home.
Well, thank you very much, Louis. It's always wonderful to visit KTEP and to see you and to see the staff. And I'm very delighted that you granted me this opportunity to share with you a little bit about where I have been the past 3 years.
So tell us a little bit about what were you doing?
Well, I was appointed executive director of the Commission for Environmental Cooperation of North America, and I will use the acronym CEC for the Commission for Environmental Cooperation because it is a mouthful. So the commission was created in 1994 under an environmental side accord to the North American Free Trade Agreement. And specifically, the commission was created to address the impacts that free trade could have on the environment in the three countries. So Mexico, Canada, and the United States created the North American Agreement on Environmental Cooperation. And they basically have a mandate to promote environmental conservation and the enhancement of North America's environment.
And you were working in Canada, were you, or in Oregon?
I was working in Canada. The secretariat of the commission is located in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. One of the reasons why it was located in Quebec is because in Canada, there are three provinces that are signatories to NAFTA: Alberta, Ontario, and Quebec. And there were two other institutions that were created, the North American Development Bank and the Border Environmental Cooperation Commission. So at the end of the day, back in 1994, every country received an institution. Ciudad Juarez has the BEC, San Antonio, Texas has the NADBANC, and the commission was headquartered in Montreal, which is a beautiful, exciting, international, cosmopolitan city.
As we are very well aware, our listening audience is, the fact that we have a lot of international students and a lot of students coming from Mexico, they're Mexican nationals. So tell us a little bit about the role that Mexico plays in this commission.
Well, the importance of the commission is that these are three equal partners. The three governments contribute equally to the management of the commission and to the funding of the commission. So this is a case where we are dealing with three sovereign nations, three equal countries, and my job was to work for the three of them in promoting environmental cooperation. And how we did that was in three very broad areas. The first area is promoting environmental cooperation. And there, the governments assign their leading experts on issues. And let me give you some examples. For example, electronic waste is a big issue in North America. Just right now, Mexico is moving from digital to analog TV. And it's estimated that there are about 40 million television sets throughout Mexico that we don't quite know what to do with. So part of what we do at the commission is work on identifying best practices, implementing model programs that can be replicated at a broader level, or examine existing legislation and doing a comparison of what is working where and how do we move this forward to protect the environment in North America. So our cooperative work program had, when I first started, 16 projects. And when I ended, we ended up with 21 projects. And basically, we focus on looking at grasslands. We focus on looking at the supply chain and the automotive industry. We had some transportation studies, energy studies. We had studies looking at food waste, looking at blue carbon, which is on the coast in the wetlands. And so it's a very broad mandate, but the projects are very specific. And we have tangible outcomes every 2 years that we then present to the environmental ministers, telling them this is what we were able to accomplish in the 2 years of the project cycle.
Now, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, you were gone for 3 years. You're back at the University of Texas at El Paso. You're a professor of political science, and you couldn't have picked a better year to come back because the presidential elections are happening and a lot of other things going on regarding trade issues.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very excited to be back. It was a wonderful opportunity. When I was appointed by the U.S. to serve in this capacity, I knew it was only for 3 years. So I'm very thankful to the University of Texas at El Paso for having granted me a 3-year leave to be able to do this and to represent the university and to represent this community and to represent the United States at the commission. So it was really a wonderful opportunity. And so right now, I'm also teaching in environmental science and engineering, and I'm hoping to be able to work with more PhD students there that focus on trinational cooperative projects that help move this agenda forward. So it's very exciting. Just the other day, I received an email from a student who is aspiring to come here to get a PhD in environmental science and engineering from Baja California, and he wants to focus on ecotourism and how to develop ecotourism projects in Baja California. So that's very exciting.
That's a very big initiative and big project, and something that it could affect our border area, because there are a lot of tourists coming to this area, a lot of tourists going into Mexico. And, you know, despite the fact that the violence that happened in the past, there have been a lot of programs recorded and messages issued by the president and other people saying that, hey, it's okay now, you can come visit. And, the border, both sides depend on each other very much economically.
Yeah. You know, one example that I want to share with you is a project we had in the Big Bend area working with the community of Boquillas, which is in Mexico. And that border crossing was closed after 9/11. And through the work of the commission, the Department of Interior, the Secretaría de Medio Ambiente y Recursos Naturales in Mexico, we developed a project in that area of the Big Bend. Number one, restoring the ecosystem. And second, having an ecotourism project that is now taking place that will help the community of Boquillas. So those are the kinds of things that the CEC has done that I think can be models for other places. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more binational protected areas and more binational ecotourism that we could all capitalize on? So those are just some of the things that we've done in the past.
And I mentioned that it's a presidential year, big election, and a lot of interest. Seems like Mr. Sanders is attracting a lot of the younger people, and of course, Secretary Clinton, attracting a certain kind of people. But then the one that just came out of nowhere, of course, is Donald Trump, and he's attracting not only a lot of people, but a lot of attention from different groups. And I guess students who may want to enroll in your classes are going to want to know as far as how the presidential election impacts what you've been doing in Canada and some of the things here on the border.
Well, let me tell you that I'm very excited because a former student of mine in the Environmental Science and Engineering program, Kevin Floyd, is now a postdoc here at UTEP. And Kevin and I are going to be teaching a joint environmental science, political science class in the fall, examining the future of environmental law and policy in the country. So it's a perfect opportunity for any student who's interested in learning more about what the presidential election means vis-a-vis environmental policy to sign up for our class. So we're very excited about that.
Some of our listeners may be concerned or maybe a little bit do I have to be an engineering student to take one of those classes, or do I have to be a political science student? Or some may even go as far as, what does political science have to do with engineering?
Well, a lot, because a lot of the solutions to environmental problems are scientific and have an engineering component, but a lot of it is driven by political will. And therefore, you have to have the meeting of the scientific, the engineering, and the political minds to make things work. And so that's why it's very exciting. And it's open to all majors. We are very excited to be able to have this class ready for the fall semester. So it's going to be a great class, and we encourage students to sign up.
A lot of some of the classes, and like yours and others in other departments, are very much, and this is something that Professor Lester mentioned about teaching and the fact that studies have shown that students really go to and engage in classes where they're given the opportunity to do hands-on work in the community. And what you're talking about sounds something like it's very much community-driven.
Oh, absolutely, because that's where you start. You start locally making a difference in terms of the environment in your own community, and then you examine what's being done at the state level in the United States and then internationally. So it's going to be a great class. And right now we are working on trying to develop a couple of field trips to different areas here in El Paso that would complement the class. And also we're going to have some guest speakers that work in the policy arena to be able to come and share with the class the politics, if you will, of environmental policymaking.
If you wouldn't mind sharing with us, this is one of the things that a lot of people have talked about. And in the past, I remember speaking with Dr. Tony Payan and Dr. Kruszewski about conferences that were being held, and one specifically that Tony attended in Israel and talking about border communities. And since you were in Canada, you were able to observe pretty much how the three countries operate, United States and Mexico and United States and Canada. And if you wouldn't mind sharing with us some of the differences that you saw in the border areas.
Well, I think that the U.S.-Mexico border area is really one of the most integrated. There's a lot of economic interdependency. We rely on Mexican shoppers in this community. A lot of people from El Paso are employed in Ciudad Juarez. So there's a lot of interaction, and I think that it's a very unique border in many ways because, in spite of what you might hear, it's really one of the most open borders in the world. I've also been with Tony both in Israel and the border surrounding Israel, the Palestinian territory, Egypt, Jordan, and Lebanon. And then we also went one year to the Polish-Ukraine border where we saw a similar sort of border area that was not as integrated, rather a little bit more separated, if you will. The integration just was not there. So there are a lot of models, but here what we do on the U.S.-Mexico border can serve as a model to promote cooperation worldwide, and that's very exciting.
And you mentioned that you and Tony had gone to Israel and to other countries in Europe, but we had also a lot of people, professors from European communities, come here. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there was a conference here that addressed specifically border issues.
We had, I believe, in 2006, the largest border conference ever held in the world. It was Linea Terrarum. And a lot of that was created due to the generosity of Professor Tony Kruszewski in our department, and to the hard work of many people on this campus that really helped to bring that to fruition. That was a very exciting conference. It would be wonderful to replicate that event. There are now smaller conferences. The Association of Borderland Studies, which I belong to and I was president of a couple of years ago, is meeting this week in Reno. And also, we're more international. We now have people from Japan. We have people from Finland. We have people from Africa. And so everyone is in the business of studying borders. And in June, we're having another conference in Montreal at the University of Quebec à Montréal that is focusing on border walls and the impact of walls in different countries. So it's a fascinating area of study, and I'm just delighted to be able to be living and working in a place that allows me to do this research and to contribute to promoting cooperation and understanding.
And what you just mentioned, walls, that's a pretty big issue in the presidential election.
Absolutely. It is. It definitely is. And so we'll have to see how we can understand, hopefully this conference in Montreal will shed light on the impacts. One thing we do know is that these physical barriers do create a negative impact on ecosystems and species. That we know. So it's something that we need to try to understand and try to hopefully inform policymakers on the impact of the wall, not just on people, but on species and ecosystems.
Well, Dr. Coronado, thank you so much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Dr. Iracema Coronado. Dr. Coronado is a professor in the political science department, and she has just returned from a three-year sabbatical where she was in Montreal working on economic issues, environmental issues, and some of the classes that she's going to be offered are very exciting. But you can go to the political science webpage and you can contact Dr. Coronado or the department to find out about some of the classes that she will be offering. Thank you very much for being with us.
I thank you. Merci beaucoup. Muchas gracias.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced in the KTEP studios, University of Texas El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Science.